following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, October 27th, 2019. And thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. I want to beg your indulgence real quick and do a quick audio check, because I know we've had some issues with that, but I'm going to go ahead and continue. I am calling into the board the old way, because supposedly that's fixed, but we will find out. And if I see if we have any problems, I may call in through Skype directly and see if that fixes the problem. Oh, perfect. And I have been told by one of our regulars who is here that I can be heard. So I'm super happy about that, because we've had a big struggle with that lately. So welcome, and thank you for letting me know that. So I'm super happy we can get down to business, how I like to get it done. Okay, so tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode that they just showed and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we'll start our show about a half hour before the new episode of The Walking Dead airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. So, welcome to Season 10, Episode 4. After tonight, there will be four more episodes until the mid-season finale. Season 10 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with eight episodes running up to November 24th, then a winter holiday break, and that'll run most likely till February 2020. I'm going to guess the first weekend of February, but I don't quite know yet, where we'll resume episodes 9 through 16. We will keep our listeners informed when we get confirmation of those dates. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 at any time during the show, but especially between 8:30 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break, where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, please join us in our live chat room, where you'll be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. And we give the links for that on our Facebook page and on my Twitter and also on my Facebook page. So feel free to share the links. And you can go back to those later on. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can take those links and go back after the show and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Alrighty, tonight's episode is entitled Silence the Whisperers. The official AMC synopsis is, still paranoid Alexandrians get riled up over the Whisperers and take their fear out on Negan. Back at Hilltop, the group deals with an unexpected safety issue. As usual, we have additional synopses that I will read to you guys in a hot second. I am actually going to pull one of them at the end from Newsweek. I have noticed that Newsweek is borrowing very heavily from a spoiler group on Facebook, and they're a little too spoiler heavy for our liking. They have actual spoilers and not just stuff that people in the know have been using for reviews. I'm going to check in the chat room real quick before we get to those additional synopses, and Joan has not added anything. So I'm going to go ahead and continue with the extended synopses. The first one being from comicbook.com, one of their regular writers, Brandon Davis, which was written this afternoon. And Brandon has to say, the episode will follow up on the tensions rising between the Alexandria survivors and the Whisperers. In the moments which followed Alpha demanding more land for her territory following Carol taking a shot at her. Oh, pardon me. That should be a period there. As the survivors back home feel more constricted, the tensions rise as the hunger for revenge grows. However, the series will also continue its character-driven approach, which has been seen throughout Season 10. At the forefront of Episode 10 of 4 will be Ezekiel, among others, as the fallout of war and tragedy continues to take its toll. The Walking Dead, Episode 10 of 4, is titled Silence the Whisperers. The synopsis I've read you, the director and writer I will not, because we do that in our own section, skipping that over. In Sunday night's episode, Kerry Payton's King Ezekiel will be feeling the effects of losing his people, his woman, and more. Following the episode, a full interview with Payton will be posted on comicbook.com. It's literally a mind-numbing thing to try to put yourself into someone who's feeling that kind of useless and that kind of like he's a drain on any and everything around him, Payton told comicbook.com. Cutlets, meaning Michael, and I talked about it a lot, and I did a lot of research on post-traumatic stress disorder just in the last few years that we've seen with Ezekiel. He's gone from being kind of this positive light to a guy who's literally lost everything. He's living the life of Job right now, asking God, what the hell did he do wrong? You know, to lose literally everything. Fans can look forward to an interesting exchange between Peyton's Ezekiel and Danai Gurira's Michonne, as well as more story from Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Negan and Cassidy McClancy's Lydia. ComicBook.com's Cameron Bolomono praised the episode ahead of its airing, and he's a frequent reviewer for them. One of the show's best ever episodes with its pulse-pounding Walker action and compelling character work, Bolomono had said. Shining moments for Negan, Daryl, Ezekiel, Lydia, Michonne, and Judith. And that is the end of that review and synopsis. I'm going to check in the chat room real quick and just make sure everything is still cool. Why am I not? I'm not seeing any activity and ability to. There we go. I was having trouble typing. Pardon my talking. That was really bad. I was having typing trouble in the chat room for a moment, but it seems to have been fixed. I was just having problems placing my mouse, but I've got it figured. Okay, so I've got the next synopsis that I am queuing up for you guys, if you give me just a hot second. And this is from a different source than we typically use, but I happened to pull it up. It's called GamesRadar.com, and they tend to be a gaming review site for the most part. And I assume that they handle The Walking Dead because it is also a game on top of everything else. And they do movies and TV and magazines also, in addition to PS4, Xbox, Switch, and some other stuff. So this is entitled The Walking Dead Season 10 Episode 4 Trailer Teases a Huge Battle with the Undead, written by Jack Shepard. And this was written 7 days ago. I do not know Jack's work, so I don't know if he writes about this show on a frequent basis or what his qualifications are. I'm going to double check in the chat room. Oh, Joan is actually just enjoying being able to hear me because we haven't been able to do that for the last couple of weeks, unfortunately. So I was just making sure that everything was copacetic. All right, so Jack says, we're already at war. The Walking Dead Season 10 Episode 4 trailer, I don't know if you guys have seen it, promises a ton of action as the survivors prepare themselves for another onslaught of walkers. How did it come to this? Well, the Whisperer's leader, Alpha, was not exactly best pleased that Carol and our heroes were trespassing on their land. Lydia looks to be taking matters into her own hands, saying during the trailer, I'm not just going to smile and take it. What exactly she's planning remains to be seen. And if you guys remember, I haven't mentioned this in a few weeks, but I have been under the impression that there is a chance there's a storyline where Lydia's defection is an entire fake-out. I believe she's got the acting chops to pretend all of that, but I'm not entirely sure. Back to the story. The hilltop, though, is where the action looks set to take place. Ezekiel is seen, spotting the incoming walkers coming, and rushes to meet everyone as they form a plan of defense. Luke can then be seen bashing heads in, but they just keep coming. Could this be the end for Dan Fogler's character? And that's the actor who plays Luke. that is the end of that extended synopsis. I have one more for you. Pardon my hiccups. And I pulled the one from Newsweek. As I said, I feel it is too spoiler heavy. I feel like there's inappropriate amounts of giving things away. So I have yanked that one based on my experience with their general fare in prior weeks. So this one is fansided.com under the umbrella of undeadwalking.com. And this is from Sarah Beth Pollock, who is one of their regular writers regarding the show. And she says, fear takes over in this week's episode of The Walking Dead as members of the Alexandria community fall victim to the paranoia surrounding the Whisperers. In Silence the Whisperers, members of the community recognize that they can't ignore the threat anymore. But in doing so, it creates a feeling of unease that might be even worse. Love him or hate him, Negan is a smart guy. He told Gabriel and Ghost, the episode last week, that he wanted to stay locked up inside Alexandria rather than venture out with Aaron because he knew that when he was outside the walls, he was a target. Plenty of people want to take out their frustration on Negan, and he knows it. This week, with fear running at a fever pitch, things get a little heated for the former leader of the Saviors. Meanwhile, there's no denying that the Whisperer is on everyone's mind. Michonne is trying to figure out the game plan, and it's Judith who rationalizes that, and this is in one of the trailers, that maybe the Whisperers have changed the rules. In a sneak peek of Silence the Whisperer, she compares Alpha's tactics to how they wear RJ down at bedtime, and the kid has a big point. That's exactly what might be happening. And then they give the official synopsis, which I've already read to you guys. That is the end of that. We're going to go ahead and skip down, and the next section is writers and directors. It is 8:43, so we've got about 17 minutes left. All right, so let's go ahead and move along, see what we can get done before it's time to go dark. Tonight's episode is written by Geraldine Inoa and is directed by prior actor Michael Cutlets. And Joan, just an interesting thing, if you care to bring up, I have been completely unable to substantiate this, and all of my research says that I'm wrong in imagining this. But tonight's episode is said to be the second one ever directed by Michael Cutlets. And I had a couple of false starts that I got from Wikia, which is where I get a lot of my information. And like where they had given me a list of the writers and directors for the season, which is where I typically get that. And they had listed him as a director and then they pulled it. And so basically I had been under the impression that Michael had done more than one episode, but in reading all of his bio stuff, his IMDb, the Wikipedia for the show and for Michael, it distinctly says he's only directed one episode of the show. And this doesn't sit well with me. I keep thinking that's not true, but I can find absolutely no proof of this. So I'm just curious if you happen to have any idea where I would have gotten such an impression, or if you happen to know of anything that could explain this. If you're able to chime in at some point tonight, let me know. In the meantime, let me go ahead and read bios for these guys so I can tell you about them. They're both not first-timers. Michael, obviously, but Geraldine, neither. So let's start with her. Geraldine Inoa is a playwright, writer for theater and television, and activist based in Brooklyn. She currently writes for The Walking Dead. Her play Scraps was developed through the Labyrinth Theater Company's Up Next series, and she was a semifinalist for the O'Neill National Playwrights Conference. Scraps had its world premiere production at the Flea Theater as part of its 2018-19 season, marking her professional debut. As a playwright, she is an alumna of the Public Theater's Emerging Writers Group and the inaugural recipient of the Shonda Rhimes Unsung Voices Playwriting Commission. She is an L. Arnold Weisberg New Play Award finalist, a P73 Playwriting Fellowship finalist, and a twice-named Eugene O'Neill National Playwrights Conference semifinalist. Her work has been developed at the Atlantic Theater Company and the Labyrinth Theater Company. She is a member of the Public Theater's 2016-17 Emerging Writers Group. She was a finalist for the 2017 Van Leer New Voices Fellowship at the Lark and winner of Pride Films and Plays 2016 Les Play Contest. Her work has been developed at the Futurist Female Festival, the All Out Arts Reading Series, and the Gallatin Arts Festival. She holds a BA from New York University's Gallatin School of Individualized Study. She resides in Los Angeles. She has been a staff writer for The Walking Dead for all of season 9, except the episodes when she wrote the actual script. There are a couple. Tonight is her third script writer credit, the first one being season 9, episode 4, The Obliged, and the second being season 9, episode 15, the penultimate episode, had to throw that in, Joan, and that was entitled The Calm Before. And that is Geraldine's profile. Michael Cutlets. Michael was born on December 29th in Long Island, New York. He is married to Rachel Cutlets, a television actress. They have two children, and Michael graduated from the California Institute of the Arts. He is known for his work on Grosse Pointe Blank in 97, Sex Drive in 2008, and Southland in 2009. Other works. He has appeared in many stage productions, including Ring of Steel at the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, Tartuffe, Much Ado About Nothing, Dead Giveaway, Coriolanus, The Cherry Orchard, Bus Stop, The Lion in Winter, Charlie's Aunt, and Summer and Smoke. Michael has over 100 acting credits in TV shows and movies since 1989, including work on shows such as 21 Jump Street, L.A. Law, Growing Pains, Dragon, a Bruce Lee movie, ER, Touched by an Angel, NYPD Blue, Home Improvement, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Walker, Texas Ranger, 6 Feet Under, 24 on day 2, the original series, Nip Tuck, CSI Miami. He did the voice of Sergeant Glenn Hawk Hawkins and other miscellaneous characters in the video game Call of Duty, CSI New York, Bones, CSI the original, and many more. He is well known for having played Abraham Ford in The Walking Dead for 39 episodes from Inmates, Season 4, Episode 10, to his cameo in What Comes After, Season 9, Episode 5. Tonight will be his second time directing for the franchise, the first being Season 9, Episode 7, Stradivarius. He is scheduled to also direct Season 10, Episode 7, coming up, Open Your Eyes. And according to Wikia for the show, he will be also directing stuff in the new third Richmond, Virginia spinoff series, which is currently under the working title Monument, according to comicbook.com. In season 1, in some capacity to be later announced in 2020. I'm going to give them a round of applause and thank you guys for your work on the show. Okay, that's interesting. Joan is, like me, seems to think that he has directed more than that for The Walking Dead. And it wasn't Fear either. He has no IMDb for Fear. So I'm just not clear. I can tell you for sure that Wikia.org has put him up as director for a couple episodes and pulled him out. And that could be where I got it from. But I'm not certain what's going on. I'm just a little relieved to see that Joan also has been under this impression. But she might have gotten that from me, so I don't know how much I should relax. But at any rate, we definitely know at least that he did the season 9 episode, those two. Tonight would be, let me go back to my notes. I'm sorry, I don't want to screw it up. Okay, tonight would be the second. He's scheduled to do one that he hasn't done yet. That will be his third. And then he's supposed to work on Monument or whatever they end up calling it. I kind of get the impression he's going to be a semi-regular director for them, at least the way that they're painting it. But they are being very vague with everything about that show. And I imagine we're not going to hear until probably late January as to what's going on with that. So, trivia time. It's 8:50, so let's see what we can do. This will be the 135th episode of The Walking Dead ever. Uncredited actors tonight. Aviana Minhir as Rachel Ward in voice only. She's an Oceanside leader. Marvin Lee as Kyle, who's an Alexandrian who's been around since season 6. He's a current council member. The baby, infant actress is unknown, playing Coco Espinoza, Rosita's baby. Lindsay Monahan as a coalition soldier, and Nick Bruno as a hilltop resident. Trivia for tonight's episode that has been revealed. First appearance of the character Alex, specifically, a nurse at Alexandria who helped Yumiko in episode season 9, episode 6. She was unseen, but mentioned specifically by Sadiq. Oh, excuse me. I don't mean to make any insult. Alex is not female. That was my mistake. The nurse is male, and he is played by actor Austin Freeman. Apologies for that. It kind of helped me not follow that by the fact that Sadiq only mentioned Alex, and I have not seen the character before. So Alex is male. Alex was not seen before but mentioned and will be seen tonight for the first time. And also, this episode marks Carrie Payton and Carrie Cahill, who plays Diane, Knight of the Kingdom, both of them, their 25th appearance on the TV series. Trivia for last episode. It was the last appearance of Sophia Pelletier as a hallucination in a photograph. Last appearance of Lizzie Samuels, Micah Samuels, Sam Anderson, and Henry. The title of the episode, Ghosts, is a reference to the hallucinations that Carol is suffering from. This episode further confirms the Highwaymen's fate, as they have indeed merged with the Coalition, as well as the fact that they seek revenge for the deaths of Ozzy and Alec at the hands of the Whisperers. Lydia reveals that Alpha's tactics when fighting the survivors would be to send her entire herd to invade Alexandria. It is suggested, well, that's what Lydia claims anyway. Again, as I've mentioned, it's entirely plausible that this is all fabricated. Because you do have to stop and wonder for a hot second, how the hell did Alpha know about those three crossings? And I know they're wandering around as walkers and they could be spying, but how did they know where to be to spy? Who was with them? Lydia. I'm just saying. Anyway, it is suggested by Eugene that the waves of walkers Alexandria is forced to fight off in this episode last week is the result of the satellite crash alerting a large number of walkers in the area. I also kind of wondered if this would make the herd that the Whisperers use a little hard to control, because they would want to go and check out the fire, what's going on. Carol has started to take caffeine pills as a way of coping. She also seems to be suffering from hallucinations as a result of sleep deprivation. It is revealed that Alpha knows that survivors trespassed into Whisperer territory on 3 previous occasions. Alpha lists the occasions as during the blizzard in the episode The Storm, the firefighting efforts in Lines We Cross, and Michonne and Aaron crossing while patrolling the river in that same episode. As punishment for this, Alpha took more land from the survivors by expanding the Whisperer's borders. The textbook Carol finds, Working in the Home, an Intro to Home Economics, Volume 1, is authored by Nico Zaltin, who is a prop master for the show. I'm a little fuzzy if this hint is implying that they wrote a random staff person's name as the author, or whether the staff person actually wrote such a book for real. I'm assuming that it's an in-joke, and that they just put a name on there randomly. That's how I choose to take it, unless anybody knows otherwise. 2 more hints. While at the border, Carol finds the hilltop medallion Lydia left at the base of Henry's pike in the calm before. And Dante reveals to Sadiq that he used to be a field medic in Iraq and suffered from PTSD after losing his entire squad. Uncredited people in the show, there was a very long list, and most of them I've read to you before, so I actually am not going to read those tonight. Death, last episode. Dante's entire military squad, he's currently a medic in Alexandria. This is a prior anecdote. It did not happen last week. The character is played by actor Juan Javier Cardenas. And also one unnamed Whisperer, and that is the one Carol shot in the back and killed in the gym. trivia notes imply that that scene was actually real after all. If you guys remember last week, there was a question about whether Carol imagined all of it and it had something to do with her injuring herself and that she hallucinated the rest. Stuff I have seen since then is implying that that scene actually happened. This whisperer brought Herd to attack Carol, and Carol fought back, and the injury happened, but she apparently killed this whisperer, who later reanimated. The whisperer is played by Melanie Dale. I am unclear whether the whisperer was put down again after reanimation. I have kind of forgotten that part. Joan, if you have anything to add on that, let me know. There were no goofs, errors, or bloopers listed from last week. And, of course, we won't have them tonight until later. All right, it's 8:57. I think we can squeeze in birthdays and possibly music before we go dark. So, cast birthdays this week. Christine Evangelista, who is Sherry, Dwight's wife, her birthday is today, October 27th, and she is from Staten Island, New York. And Sydney Park, who plays Cindy from the Oceanside crew, her birthday is on Halloween, and she is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So happy birthday, ladies. Joan has some quick commentary to add. Still looking for stuff on Michael Cutlets. He has nothing but Walking Dead under his director listings for IMDb or any work at all. He has no fear credits. And she thought he had directed something in season 8 or... I know he shadowed the directors to prepare. I do know that. But I could have sworn he directed more stuff than this, but I think it may be those fake-out entries. Also, featured music from last episode, there was a song called Care of Cell 44 by the Zombies. That was music playing during Carol's hallucination fight in episode 3 in the gym. And unaccounted for characters, Heath, Sherry, Rick and Ann / Jadis, Maggie and Herschel, little Herschel, and Georgie. And Winnie, the little girl who ran away. It's been months now, so I guess she's just a random loose end. But I don't like when they name characters and make you get to know them, and then they just vanish. Heath, I'm looking at you. I know they do that sometimes for reasons. 8:58, we do have time to do this. Talking Dead on the couch tonight. Director of tonight's episode and former Abraham Ford actor Michael Cutlets, Cassidy McClinty plays Whisperer defector Lydia, and The Walking Dead superfan Matt Jones. Matt Jones recently starred in El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie that is currently on Netflix. Front half of season 10 remaining. Episode 136, season 10, 5. Title, What It Always Is, writers Eli Jorn, director Laura Belzy, November 3rd, next weekend. Number 137, episode 6, Bonds, writers Kevin Diebolt, director Dan Liu, November 10th. 138, episode 7, Open Your Eyes, Corey Reed is the writer, Michael Cutlets is the director again, November 17th. Episode 139, mid-season finale, episode 8, The World Before. Writer is Julia Ruckman, and director is John Dahl. That's November 24th, and then we go on break until February. And I am going to now take a break, and I'll see you guys at commercial break number one. Okay, guys, it's 9:04, and we're already at break number one. I'm going to just start with a 5 because it was awfully short. I'm interested in what is that 1-2-3, 1-2-3 song that's on there, and I hope they capture that for music. But I kind of missed what song that was. I don't know if you caught it or if you have a way to go back and look. Also, I was a little fuzzy exactly what happened because I know Ezekiel was seeing some herd coming because they mentioned that they mentioned this in the trailer. But what I'm trying to figure out is, did a tree fall on the fence or did it fall down inside, or what was he running down to take a look at? It's just all kind of fuzzy. So not really sure what happened all just there. Anyhow, I've got a few more notes to try to squeeze in here if we got a hot second. Let me take a look. Okay. So I was reading off to you the rest of the front half of season 10. We assume for now that episodes 9 through 16 will start in February of 2020. We don't have a start date for Fear Season 6 yet, but we assume it is in mid-April sometime, as has been tradition in the past. Season 5 ran April through May and August through September last year. Best guess for now is April through May, then resume episodes 9 through 16 in August 2020. However, with the coming of Monument, or whatever they end up calling it, this premieres in spring of 2020, possibly following season 6, episodes 1 through 8 of Fear. Although they're almost going to be out of spring by the time that happens. So I don't know if that's going to happen first and then they shove Fear into summer. I'm really not clear about much of anything on how they all fit together yet. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media include Wednesday the 30th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, episode 78, Knocking on Heaven's Door, the psychology between fall, Halloween, and Day of the Dead, death and ancestor rituals. On Halloween, Thursday the 31st at 8 p.m., Travel Itch Radio. In this special Halloween night episode of Travel Itch Radio, travel journalist Michelle Newman recounts her experiences at Dracula's Castle and other spooky places. And, of course, please feel free to rejoin us on the 27th. No, excuse me. Today is the 27th. I should have changed that for you guys. Forgive me. On November 3rd, please join us for the next episode, which is Season 10, Episode 5, What It Always Is. And that'll be next weekend. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:16. We're at break number two. I'm at 5:05, and Joan's going up to 5:75. And we've got a few little chit-chat things going on in between. Joan and I both are a little bit confused what happened at the end of the last break, and we never really did quite entirely figure it out. A tree fell. They think it's sabotage, which it could be, since it fell on people as well as the walls. She had forgotten that Ezekiel was staying at Hilltop. I wondered if the whisperers had come out and chopped it down, although they didn't really tend to keep tools on hand that much that I could remember. You know, a few things. They had that old camp that they do, but seems they kept that stuff to a minimum, so I don't know. Wasn't really sure what Ezekiel was up to at first, and Michonne followed him out, and it looks like he was at the edge of some kind of abandoned lookout place, like some kind of tower or something. I don't know, maybe a ranger station at one point, and looked like he was going to jump. And then there was the kiss that we've all been hearing about in promos, like Ezekiel and Michonne are going to kiss. And it really was much more of a PTSD primal reaction thing. And I don't think it amounts to... They just sensationalized it to get us to watch. Okay, we've watched. Now it's a thing. All right, there we are. Okay, so I have some more notes. I think. No, I do not. I have read you everything else I had. So I'm going to go to discussion links, which I haven't gotten to do in a while, and I've accumulated quite a few since they weren't getting thrown out every week. So the first one I have on the list is from a little while back, October 13th by Dalton Ross on entertainmentweekly.com. Ryan Hurst shares more clues on Beta's backstory on The Walking Dead. This may contain elements that were revealed in that episode where we talked about his friend. So he says, we had a lot of blanks filled in on Sunday's We Are the End of the World episode of The Walking Dead, especially with the character Beta. Thanks to a series of flashbacks, we saw where Beta was originally holed up after the zombie apocalypse. We saw Beta meet Alpha. We saw how and why they became codependent. We saw where Beta got his t-shirt and his zombie mask. The one thing we did not see, however, was Beta's face. That reveal will have to wait, but we got some more scoop out of actor Ryan Hurst. That was interesting, Care First Blue Shield with Daryl in it. Okay. Thanks to a series of flashbacks, okay, blah, 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 we did not see Beta's face. Sorry, gotta go down. For actor Ryan Hurst about why Beta was in a rehab medical facility, who the person is that used to own that t-shirt and face turn mask, and how the character's feeling about Alpha's erratic behavior of late. Hurst also reveals the behind-the-scenes origins of the creepy whisperer mantra and seems to confirm that Easter egg on Fear the Walking Dead that revealed Beta to be a pre-apocalypse musician whose album was owned by Daniel Salazar but may have fallen down in the road. That episode already aired and we saw it. And that has been mentioned in several trailers and official appearances out in public. There's been commentary for a while that it was probably somebody famous by their face, but it was also speculated he could have been a sports figure. And they've only just recently mentioned the records. We're back. And I will see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:29. We are at break number 3. And I am at 6. Jonah's at 6:05. And I'm a little salty about it, even though I gave it a 6. Because honestly, can the writers think of nothing better than, oh, Negan threw somebody against the wall? She frickin' had it coming. They all did. And I'm sick and tired of this kind of infighting. Find a different plot, for the love of God. As many years as this stuff has been going on, I'm a little sick of it. Okay. So, commentary since the last voting. Jonah said, looks like Carol and Ezekiel are both handling their losses, PTSD stuff badly. Not that I think they could be handled well by any stretch, which I agreed. And Jonah also said, if anyone could talk either Ezekiel or Carol back down, it would be Michonne, given her background. And I had just mentioned that some of Michonne's commentary about losing somebody the second time around is hitting a little too close to home for me. Jonah's mentioned, with Danai leaving the show this season as well, I wonder if she will appear in one of the movies and find out that Rick is alive somewhere. I have wondered the same thing as well. I really don't know anything about how they're going to have her exit. And since she and Rick are exiting from the same part of the country, I don't think it's out of the question. So I guess we'll see. And then Jonah's mentioned Daryl's getting the crash course in parenting a teenager. Yeah, but most teenagers are not like Lydia. So I don't know. Parenting a juvenile delinquent, maybe. Okay, so I'm going back to the article for a hot second. I just, you know, I'm a little ranty about why they're making this a plot device about, you know, Negan having done something, because I feel like they could do something else by now, for the love of God. Okay, so back to the article from Entertainment Weekly. Hearst also reveals behind the scenes or the mantra in reveals Beta to be a pre-apocalypse musician whose album was owned by Daniel Salazar. Read on for more intel. Okay, so they have the actual interview. Entertainment Weekly, what was it like to get to tell some of Beta's backstory here in the flashbacks? Ryan Hearst, yeah, it's been a blast. One of the most fun parts I've had on the show is the secretive nature of where this guy came from. It's something I very early on brought to his showrunner, Angela Kang, that I had this idea of his backstory and also how they met. And we collaborated a bunch on making this backstory a reality. So I'm just super happy with the way it all worked out, because Angela and I have been talking about this since the beginning of season 9 when I first signed on. I had some different ideas that were sort of contradictory to some other stuff that was established in the comic book. So I think we're on the right path. We're back now, so I'll shut up. I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, we are brick number 4941. I'm going to 6.5. Let's see what Joan has to say, and she's staying at her 6.5. So let's see the commentary we had in between the voting. By the way, if you do the Walking Dead Rewards doohickey, twdrewards.com, the word tonight for the show is silence. I guess we'll get the Talking Dead word later, so y'all can stay and watch it. We actually have Talking Dead where you can stay and watch. I am not happy with this whole Negan getting blamed for everything, and even Lydia getting blamed for everything. This is freaking tired. It's overdone. Jonas said, I keep hoping these idiots will see that Negan is actually trying to help. I don't think it's as flat out as he's just trying to help, but I wish they would see when he's trying to help, even if he's got an agenda, and at least put him in a more useful role. Not saying trust him, but damn, the man could be an asset. Yeah, that's why I love Negan, at least now. When he was leading the Saviors, not so much. I don't take him as a very straightforward character. I'm always assuming that even this stuff has an agenda for him. And Jonah said, whatever else he's been involved in, Negan does seem to see things others don't. Yeah, he's an extremely good judge of intricacies of things and motives and other stuff. And Joan and I both were like, holy crap, check Judith with her fighting. And Joan is like, Judith is like mini Michonne. Yes, she certainly is. She's been pretty freaking amazing. And there's an interesting show on. What is this interesting show? It looks like it has Jason Momoa in it. No, I thought he was not acting right now because he's protesting. I can't tell what this is. I gotta wait and see. It looks like a very extended trailer for something coming up, a series of some kind, called C-S-E-E on TV, Apple TV Plus. I don't really understand what that was, but anyhow. Okay, the Talking Dead thing we did. Let me go back to the interview with Ryan Hurst, see what we can squeeze out of that. He was talking about telling Angela Kang about his ideas. And they were, there's still a lot of secrets behind who Beta was that we'll investigate more and more. But, you know, I like to dangle a carrot. Yeah, and we haven't gotten to those yet. So even though I told you this much of it, we still don't know exactly who it was. We still don't know how he got to any of this or even if people know who that was. I mean, I certainly could tell you, like, my dad couldn't tell you who the lead singer of Metallica was, so it's not that simple either. Okay. Entertainment Weekly. Well, allow me to nibble on that carrot a bit and ask you a few questions, because it looks like Beta's holed up here in some kind of rehab medical facility place. Why is this where Alpha finds Beta? What should we read into this location? Answer. At the end of the episode, we see a picture of him and what we can assume is one of his best friends. But this was the place that he was admitted for either some mental reason or otherwise. Well, I don't know. Rehab, if you're an entertainer, we know what it is. It's usually substance abuse. And he saw it as sort of his place of solace. When the world went to hell, he went to the only place he felt safe, and he just happened to find it there. Entertainment Weekly. And, of course, I'm going to ask you about that person. We see that Alpha killed that walker. We see the face and the T-shirt. Now Beta's wearing this person's face and T-shirt, so clearly this is someone of importance. Now, we all know from a couple episodes ago who that was. What can you tell me about this guy and his role in Beta's life? Answer. I was sort of putting together this backstory of this guy, and when I pitched it to Angela, I said I would really love the emotional currency of him wearing the face of his best friend. From an actor's perspective, I was like, why doesn't this guy take off his mask? That's a very good point. We haven't seen Beta ever take his off, but Alpha does frequently. There's a lot of answers to that question, but the main one was that I thought it would be so wonderful if he had a best friend that he just couldn't let go. And he was wearing the face of somebody that he knew and loved and would bring a bit of pathos to this very sort of dark and mysterious character. That was really important to me. So, Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park, we may be going back. We are going back, so I will see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, let's get some scores up. I am going to go to 675. Let's see what Jones got to say about that. I thought you were already at 675. Maybe I'm just hallucinating. That's entirely possible. I don't remember if we're at break 6 or 7. I imagine 7 since we're close to the top of the hour. Anyhow, I was not imagining it, Joan has said. That TV show on Apple Plus called C does have Jason Momoa in it. That's totally him. It premieres on November 1st. So I guess he has taken time away from his protesting in Hawaii, and I'm not mocking that, by the way. It's just that I was very firmly told that he was not doing TV and film work. He was busy out there defending some stuff that needed defending. But I guess that has got itself sorted out, and he went and did the show. So good on him. That was that. Jonah's a busy man, and she's at 675 as well. It is 9:54, so I think we don't have too much left of this episode. So let me run back over to the interview that I've got and see if I can knock the rest of this out for you, hopefully. Okay. I don't want to keep reading you the same part over again. This is kind of a long interview. I hope I don't have to go back to this. So I think we can take away from it that they were best friends and that his best friend was last vestiges of his old life, of who he was before the apocalypse. And Alpha sort of instills in him this, look, the world is burning, the world is dying, the world now belongs to the walkers, but this is all that you can take with you. And he decides to follow her lead. Is Beta the kind of guy that needs someone to follow? This is Entertainment Weekly. Does he need that rock of stability or leadership? Ryan. I think it's a beautiful partnership between the two of them. One of the things I liked about how the episode played out that was really important to me was that in the comic book, essentially what you get is a hierarchy. That's not too much of a spoiler. You have a leader and you have a follower, also not a spoiler. And for the most part, that's what you get in all of season 9, which is this charismatic leader and somebody following her. Okay, that's fine. We all knew that. And then throughout season 10, and especially in this episode, you see there's much more of a partnership, a very strange, carnal, primal, not sexual, but intimate relationship between the two. And I think in very many ways, Alpha saves Beta, and in a lot of ways, Beta saves Alpha. So it really is a codependent relationship. I don't think he's really just in need of a strong leader. I think they found a big balance with each other. Entertainment Weekly. And that dynamic is sort of challenged a little bit somewhere here with the Gamma situation. What does Beta make of when Alpha bestows a name on this other Whisperer? Now we've got Gamma, and he doesn't seem too psyched about it. Ryan, Beta is really the secret holder of all of Alpha's sort of democracies. We decided to all give up names and become as close to walkers as we can, but then why are we calling your daughter Lydia? That's a very good freaking question. Why does she still have a name and we all call her that? But if there are kinks in the armor, Beta knows them. And it's his job to sort of smooth them over in the face of all the rest of the Whisperers so we don't have a rebellion. And when she decides to bestow a name to Gamma, I think he sees this as an enormous problem. The fact that he doesn't kill her sister, and the fact that he just throws the name under her, these are all enormous mistakes that he's tracking very, very, very carefully. He's kind of like a Dutch boy with his finger in the dam, just trying to make sure the whole thing doesn't come crashing down. They spent the last 10 years building this army, and they all depend on her word, and she's become really a bit more unfit. So it's his job to kind of protect her from herself. And there's a lot more to this interview. I'm going to try to keep going, but I may have to end up putting it on hold. Okay, Entertainment Weekly. And so at the end of this episode, where is he with her? Because you just mentioned a bunch of the things that are clearly concerning him. And then he sees that weird, creepy wooden shrine that she set up to Lydia. But then we see them do the mantra at the end. Is he hoping she's back on track? Ryan, with the flashing back, we're sort of drawing parallels of when Beta was locked up in this place, sort of grasping, holding on to his old life. She came in and saved him, and in the present tense, Beta has tracked her down and found that she's doing exactly the same thing. I think by the end of the episode, he's still very, very concerned about emotionally and psychologically where Alpha stands. But there's this mantra in something that they've said together for a long time. The story behind the mantra was I wrote the mantra as a way of what I would say to myself, sort of get into character after I put my mask on and be in costume, and I would say it. And then I told Angela that, and she was like, oh, my God, we're using it. And I was like, great. And I think the way they use it is perfect, too. We are back. I will see you guys at the end. Okay, I'm actually going to end this on a 7. Yes, it's totally Chris Hardwick playing Dale for Halloween. I don't think Lydia let Negan out. My vote is it's Gabriel. We'll see. Lydia does have a point. She may be safer in the cage, as sad as that is. We'll see about all this stuff. Joan is ending on 7 as well. Since we are getting into The Talking Dead, I'm going to let you guys go so you can go watch that. But thank you for joining us, and we will see you next weekend, which will be November 3rd for episode 5. And that is entitled, let me look that up for you real quick. I know I have that. What It Always Is. That's November 3rd. We will see you guys then. Thank you for joining us, as always, and see you next week.